You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to the My Senior Horse Podcast. Today we're going to talk about helping senior equids lose or gain weight, along with some of the health issues that could lead to those problems in the first place. I'm Kim Brown, Editorial Director for My Senior Horse. Our guests today for the podcast are Dr. Pat Harris and Dr. Nikki Jarvis. Both are veterinarians as well as experts in various aspects of equine care. Dr. Harris is a past president of the British Equine Veterinary Association and is a European specialist in veterinary and comparative nutrition. She is the director of science for Mars Horse Care and head of the Waltham Equine Studies Group. Dr. Harris has spent much of the last 30 years working to help improve the care and nutrition of older horses. She also is passionate about seniors because of her dedication to her own older horses. She has advised on the care of many seniors and has authored numerous articles on their care. Dr. Harris' involvement in several global senior research teams gives her special insight into some of these studies. She's also on the Executive Advisory Council for My Senior Horse. Dr. Nicola Jarvis is head of veterinary and care at Red Wings Horse Sanctuary in Norfolk, England. She qualified from the Royal Veterinary College London in 1990 and worked in mixed practice for 2 years before moving to Newmarket, where she completed a two-year internship at Rossdale's Equine Hospital. She then joined Red Wings Horse Sanctuary in Norfolk in 1996. She is now head of veterinary and care there, working with what she calls an incredible team of veterinary surgeons and nurses to care for more than 1,500 resident horses, donkeys, and mules. Dr. Jarvis attained her RCVS Certificate of Advanced Veterinary Practice in Equine Medicine in 2012 and her Cert AVP in Equine Surgery Soft Tissue in 2013. Her specialist interests include equine nutrition, geriatric medicine, internal medicine, and colic. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Kim. It's a pleasure to be here and always a pleasure to work with Pat as well.
Okay, well, Dr. Jarvis, I'm going to put you back on the spot. So we talked about some of the nutrition aspects of when a horse is getting looked at. As a veterinarian, when you take some of these horses in, so what are you looking for in an underweight senior equid?
Well, what's wonderful is that we're gently covering the most relevant subjects, and we're doing it in a great order because we're able to look at clinical signs of and the feeding and then the diseases themselves. So that, yeah, I'm really enjoying this. As Pat said, I do like teeth, but I think when I approach a weight loss case, and obviously at Red Wings Horse Sanctuary, we have teams of vets, and we have a welfare team of vets that actually go out to welfare cases. So, you know, they will actually be seeing the underweight horse with multiple problems and then dealing with that. But as Pat mentioned earlier, it doesn't have to be a welfare case. It can genuinely be the aging horse with perhaps more than one clinical condition, and it can slowly happen in front of us. So for me, I think definitely the observation that you've all mentioned is absolutely critical, because you need to see those first clinical signs to then better formulate a plan for what you're going to do to work up that horse as a vet. So the more feedback an owner can give us, the better. We absolutely love it. If people have got time to maybe video their horse when it's eating, that can be really helpful, or that's something we can do when we come to visit. So like Pat said, I think it's so critical to offer the horse different feed types and see what does it do with it. Does the horse quid? So quidding is the most obvious sign of a dental problem, but there are plenty more. There might be food pocketing in the cheeks. You can have, in advanced cases, you can have nasal discharge. There may be the horse is drooling, a foul odor from the mouth, taking longer to consume food than you would expect, or reluctance, particularly as Pat mentioned, if the food is, say, a soap product that's been chilled, and again, sensitive teeth. We as humans, like so many of us, suffer with sensitive teeth, and perhaps we have a degree of periodontal disease, you know, where your gums are really inflamed. Well, horses are affected in sort of comparable ways. So again, much as we don't want to have the glass of iced water, the pony out in the field has no choice during the winter. So I think it's important to sort of think in that mindset. Other signs that for me are really helpful when it comes to thinking about teeth is in the whole digestive tract, the teeth are the only thing that shorten the fiber particle length from your hayknet to what comes out of their bottom. So if in actual fact the horse's droppings are containing quite long fiber particles in there, something's gone wrong right at the front end. Whilst you may come across a horse with weight loss and diarrhea, and that can be a whole host of problems behind that, what you might also see is a horse that passes completely normal droppings, followed by a light jus or gravy. So the droppings themselves are normal, but you get this sticky sort of fecal discharge, particularly on the backs of the hocks. We've very often seen it in the older horse. And I do tend to find that is a sign of dental problems, again, because you've got this longer fiber particle length pulling through and you're getting this extra water. It is a sign of other things, but I always like to start with looking at the teeth. I also like to do a carrot test. Obviously, not if the owner's already told me the horse has no teeth at all, because I wouldn't want to take it. So, but it's one of the tests that you can use to look for a condition called EOTRH, which is equine odontoclastic tooth resorption hypercementosis, which is quite good mouthful to say in the middle of a party if you want to, you know, make nobody talk to you for the rest of the evening. But it's quite a nasty disease that affects the tooth roots, surrounding bone, particularly of the incisors of the horse. But don't forget, it can affect the canines and those first premolars, the first cheek teeth. And the condition must have always been around, but I think we only became more aware of it probably in the last 10 years or so. And it's a condition that the more you look for it, the more you find it. And although very often you'll hear the carrot test quoted, you know, offer a carrot, if the horse can bite, then, you know, probably it's not that. But in its early stages, the signs will be more subtle. For instance, you know, a gentle tap on the tooth evokes quite a reaction from the horse. You may see inflamed gums. There may be discharging tracts, little discharging tracts of pus. So the only real way to truly diagnose it usually is to take radiographs. And as things currently stand, one of the fastest ways to make that horse feel comfortable and to get it back eating and to get away is to actually extract the affected teeth. And that sounds quite barbaric, but the joy you can literally see in a horse with badly affected teeth when those teeth are removed, that the turnaround is literally night and day. It's literally night and day. So, yeah, that is the approach we've had to take in badly affected horses. So lots of issues also that can occur with teeth will be as horses age, they start to lose some of those wonderful enamel grinding surfaces. So they lose these little infolds that they've got, particularly in the upper cheek teeth. So the teeth become very smooth, like almost like a marble kitchen work surface. And you can imagine as soon as that's occurred, well, they're not going to be very effective grinding that hay down and breaking that hay down. We often refer to it as the horse becoming smooth mouthed. And that starts to occur sort of, some horses I've seen it as early as sort of late teens, but more often it's into the 20s. And of course, when you get to sort of after the 20s, you might even start to lose teeth. The teeth may become shed or become loose. You can also get gaps form between the teeth, known as diastema. And if you get food packing in those gaps, then they can lead to gum recession, very painful periodontal disease. And again, it's really going to put the horse off chewing effectively or consuming cold food. So all of these conditions usually can be managed with regular dentistry. So I think most of us are used to, in the younger horse, doing annual dentals, but it's not unusual in the older horse that you're going to probably need to do it at least every 6 months. But it really is money well spent, because it makes a huge difference to them in terms of comfort. Other conditions that I think of, again, in the older horse is things like osteoarthritis. So as part of any examination I would do for weight loss, I just do ever such a basic walk and trot, just a short one, because many of these older horses won't be particularly fit. But you can see a lot from that. And again, in fairness to owners, if their older horse is retired and out in a field, it might not be that often they bring the horse in and trot it on a concrete surface. Why would you? But it can be a really, really useful thing to do. But also talk to them about the horse's behaviour and demeanour. So a lot of horses, as they become, you know, stiffer with old age, owners often say to me, he used to be so good for the farriers, but now he gets really agitated. And it might be that he's having trouble weight bearing on one leg or flexing the other leg. It might be that he's taking himself away from the group, that is quieter, or he's just started to, and I say this in inverted commas, get a little bit naughty. But things like being naughty can be a sign of pain. So it's important to have that in the mix if there's been a behaviour change. So those are the sort of really obvious things you come across, in addition to, as Pat said, first of all, making sure you've got an adequate diet, an appropriate diet. And then, of course, I would then move on to things like considering parasites. So I'd want to be sort of, A, having a look at the faeces themselves, which, as I've said before, can tell you an awful lot about the dentition, but inquiring about the faecal worm accounts, you know, when was the horse last wormed, and whether or not, you know, there's sometimes you find a little bit of a herd issue going on. And then you can then, as your next tier, once you've ruled out perhaps what I call the more obvious causes, and as Pat said, that you've done all of your observation to look at social issues and that you've considered the cold, you would then move on to do some blood tests. And at that stage, that would start to tell you what tests you would then need going forward. Obviously, if your blood samples revealed a liver problem, you could then take that investigation further. If you found no other causes, you might need blood samples or testing to see, is the horse absorbing nutrients? How well is that gut working? So there's all sort of levels of tests that you can do to advance forward and find out what the situation is. But very much in my experience, and I'm sure Pat's experience too, you very often solve the problem with the simple tests, because the actual diet being fed, the horse's dentition, looking at things like osteoarthritis, perhaps PPID, and assessing any other areas of pain, very often you will have gotten to your cause quite quickly.
Mars Equestrian, a sponsorship division of Mars Incorporated, is dedicated to highlighting the Mars brands, such as Buckeye Nutrition, Spillers, Antec Diagnostics, Sound Imaging, Royal Canin, Pedigree, Nutro, and many more in the equestrian world. Whether it's through nutrition, veterinary care, or education, our purpose is to create a better world for horses, pets, and the people who love them. I'm going to thank Dr. Harris even before I ask her the next question, because I have a senior, he's 19 now, PPID, Tennessee walking horse. This horse has been on more trails up and down mountains in Wyoming. He's always been very fit his entire life, which probably helped him because he wasn't treated for PPID before I had gotten him from some friends that passed away. And so my daughter and I took like four horses out of their herd and brought them home. But Pat was talking about arthritis in the neck. And I'm like, oh, maybe he's not cleaning his feet up because it hurts. And so took her advice, started either putting it on a fence feeder or holding it or whatever it is that I was doing. And he's just like a changed horse. He just is happier. And yeah, he still has to kind of graze around for his hay, but because of his weight, that's not quite as bad. It's a little self-limiting. But thank you very much for that, Dr. Harris. But what management issues might cause weight loss? And that You know, that's everything from what you were talking about before, the hierarchy issues, to not being fed correctly.
Yeah, I think all of the things that we've said, I think from forage not being appropriate, the feed not being enough, the feed not being the right quality. Horses, you know, whether they smell and that just puts them off and they're easily put off. The thing that I mentioned before, the feed format, and again, it's something, again, you can tell Nikki and I have worked together on these senior horses, is that Nikki always says, you know, we go from long fiber to often, if their teeth starting to get worse, to go on to short chop fiber, which is the chaff. But if horses have those gaps that between their teeth that Nikki mentioned, the diastema, sometimes those chaff type short get stuck there, and that can cause a problem. And I think that's the other thing when feeding, is we have to be aware, a bit like with arthritis, but there are other things that happen with age. And so, for example, we need to think that horses get more insulin dysregulation. It may not be the same type, and again, Nikki mentioned it, it may not be the same type as what they had when they were younger. So when we say we can feed the same feed as they can when they're younger, yes, they can, but we probably need to be cautious, as we are with more and more with the younger animals, that we don't overload them with non-structural carbohydrate just because they're getting older. It's nothing to do with them being ill. It's just an effect of age. And I think, therefore, we need to just make sure that we're giving them smaller meals as well. So we're giving them a lower starch and sugar diet, but maybe we're dividing that meal if we can. And this comes back to working with owners. You know, it's great saying we'll divide it into this number of meals. Well, it may not be possible, but is there a way to work with a friend that you feed in the evening and they give a feed in the lunchtime? So the horse has been given three meals a day, not two meals a day, that we're dividing that feed so that we are effectively feeding the same feed, but we're giving less non-structural carbohydrate per meal. The other thing is that I have found is that some individual animals can't or don't manage as well with feeding certain feed types. I don't know, there's no real science, but some animals can't cope with as much cereal. And this is nothing necessarily to do with insulin dysregulation and glucose. They just probably, I don't know if it's to do with their gastric health, and we already want to keep it low for gastric health, but for some of them, they really don't tolerate being fed very much cereal. And you have to look at your animal and find out they really can't tolerate that. So when we're looking at, and that is important with our weight loss animal, because if you've got a weight loss animal and you want to put weight on, your options are to feed them more forage or a better quality forage. Now, that's fine if their teeth are good. So we need to check their teeth are good, that they can take that better quality forage and that better quality or more of it. If they're not, we're having to think about what about we can add in their short feed or their complementary feed. So again, we need to think about things, because they're older, we might not want to give them as many cereals, which we might want to consider increasing the number of meals of cereals, but that might not be appropriate. So we need to think about things like a low NSC complementary feed, high in unmolassed sugar beet pulps, soya hulls. And then we can think about oil. And I really got to the oil point here, because again, when you were saying what could have affected, an owner could tell me, well, look, I'm feeding extra calories and I'm giving them this, that, and the other, but it may not be appropriate for that individual animal. Some horses seemed, as they get older, seem to tolerate oil really well, and it's a very useful. Others, either they find it unpalatable, so you need to divide it, choose an oil they like, and or for some of them, they really will just not eat an oil supplemented diet. And we have to think of these highly digestible forage fiber diets, and that's when mashes. So I'm sort of coming, why some of the management issues, it's not, again, it's not just the amount, it's the format and the nature of how that feed is made up. And this is where working with an experienced nutritionist can be really good. Talking to your vet so you know where the issues are, but then talking to a nutritionist who can work around your individual animal and think of the right feed. So I think that was really, because otherwise we're repeating, but those were some new things I wanted to mention.
Well, that's very good. And Dr. Jarvis, I want to, because of the Red Wings history, can you share a story with us about an underweight senior equid that was taken in at Red Wings? And just tell us about the whole process and the success that you've had.
Cheerfully, because we do love to be able to share, obviously, the success stories. But first off, I must hands up say I can't take credit. So these are our welfare team and our welfare veterinary surgeons, as obviously they're on first slide. So yeah, definitely can't take credit. But we had a case actually who on arrival was estimated to be about 24 years old. Little chap called Charlie, so little tiny pony. And as Pat mentioned earlier, using the body condition scoring systems, we at Red Wings use the 0 to 5 scoring system, and this pony actually registered as a 0. So yeah, he was super slim. So but it's okay. It's a happy story because I'm telling the story some 3 years later and he's now 27. So I'll give you the good news bit first. But so the welfare team involved with the horse, it was one of those scenarios whereby although there was some food available, he had severe sort of dental compromise such that any food that was there wouldn't have been anything he could eat. In essence, he had a severe infection within one of his canine teeth and within the actual bone in the jaw as well, several of his other teeth as well. You can imagine he's getting near an age where he's going smooth mouth. He hadn't had any recent dental treatment, so there would have been sharp enamel overgrowth. Also, there were multiple diastema, these gaps between the teeth. So a whole series of issues. And the welfare team worked extremely hard to, first of all, supply a diet that he could manage and found tasty, because the pain of this tooth was obviously impacting his appetite, but also to extract that tooth and curette out the affected bone, treat with appropriate antibiotics. So it was quite a long healing process, and obviously dental work to clear the diastema and treat underlying periodontal disease, just make his mouth more comfortable. And then when the mouth was at the stage where it was comfortable, then provide nutrition that he could actually manage. What was super is he can still have access to forage, because although he doesn't process it very well due to his dentition, he hasn't had any of the potential side effects that you can see in very aged ponies or ones with very few teeth. Sometimes they can suffer from colic because they're not chewing it properly and it's going through this quite long fiber, or they actually get esophageal choke because they've tried to swallow a nice sort of big ball of quidded food they'd normally quid. So fortunately, he isn't suffering from any of that. So he's cheerfully allowed to sort of have some forage to chew on, and some of it he can make use of, but he's obviously supported with supplementary fibre in a form that he can cheerfully eat. So yeah, the team have done a wonderful job, and steadily over the time he's been with us, he's gained weight beautifully, and of course he's no longer in pain, so he's a lot happier chappy. So yeah, that's quite a joyous story, and definitely it qualifies as senior, I think, at that great age.
Oh, that's a lovely story. And I hate to do this, but we're down to our last question. And Dr. Harris, one thing we haven't mentioned is that about 10% of horses over 15 years of age are in active competition. And that can range from Olympic horses down to somebody who's just showing their senior horse. So how do you help those horses that maybe are a little bit underweight?
Wow, that's probably a topic for a whole webinar. But just some tips. Again, I think it's similar processes. It's all about monitoring. So first of all, number one, I'm going to say make sure you're monitoring, because we need, as they're getting older, we need to monitor even more. We need to monitor their teeth. We need to monitor their body condition score. We need to check their worming program, because we want them at peak of health. We need to check their vaccines are up to date, because one of the issues with older horses, they may have less immunity. We need to really pick up if things are going wrong in the competition horse. Then I think, again, we need to keep an eye on their insulin dysregulation, because that's important in managing these older horses, because we're wanting to keep them, their energy contents up. But let's think about some other things. And for me, some of the things I think about is protein quality. It's important in all horses, and we talk about it a lot with young racing horses. But as they're starting to get older and we're still competing them, I think protein quality becomes important. It's not just the amount of protein we're feeding. And it's not as if healthy older horses seem to have a problem with absorbing protein. It's just we want to support repair. If there's any way we can help reduce the risk of them getting muscle atrophy with old age, and we're competing them, we really need to monitor them. So I tend to always feed the protein quality at the level, at least one energy level higher than they're working. So if they're only in light work, I make sure they're getting at least moderate, if not intense, levels of some of the key amino acids such as lysine. So as a tip, that is something that I would do. And the same for some of the vitamins. So for vitamin E, I tend to feed them again. If they're just doing a little bit of work, I feed them as if they're light to moderate. If they're in light work, I go to moderate to high. And definitely, if they're still in moderate, I want to make sure I'm at my higher level of some of these vitamins and some important key trace elements. And the same with the energy, we need to think about that thermodynamics. So they're not going to be able to cope. So we need to think, as they're getting older, if they're getting hot, we've got to be even more careful with our thermoregulation, making sure we cool them down, making sure they don't get too cold and too hot. So I think there's a lot of things we can do with our older competition horses that are just subtle differences. Again, I'm coming back to, because I want to make sure my NSC is down, but maybe we need to give them enough energy, divide the meals. Hopefully if they're in hard work, put their meals into four times a day. Make sure they're forage, but monitor and check, and they will change. And I'd like to end, for me, one of the best things I can say about managing these horses, that if I'm able to manage them appropriately, they will get older. So therefore, things will change. And therefore, that's again why I would put out with monitoring and discussing and have a plan with your vet. I think doing preventative checks, and I know it was the last question, but Nikki could finish, is checking the animals daily. And I know her team go out and look at them and monitor them. And so maybe we could finish with that.
Thank you, Pat. Yes, I have to say we're very blessed with our teams. So the horses are checked twice a day by teams that have undertaken further checker training. That's something that we do in-house. So the team are all alert to extra signs of disease, and each animal is gently moved on the pasture again. So we've got that early indication of any form of lameness, laminitis, stiffness. And what's lovely is, because our teams of checkers tend to be quite people that have worked at Red Wings quite a long time, they do know their horses as individuals on that farm. And I think that's critical, and something that Pat has said earlier is, you know, horses are individuals, and so you need to know what is normal, so it makes it easier to tell when something's going a little bit wrong. They are also, they come in and they have body condition scoring done regularly. So teams will go round and check body condition scores and then adjust the feeding for the group as appropriate. They also will come in and have weighbridge weights done. Particularly important, we find, to have those on record, so that if we do need to prescribe a wormer, we're not underdosing the wormer and creating longer term issues. with potential resistance, etc. So we find that really important. So for all of our horses, we are able to check on the database. So we've got an idea of their weights and body condition scores as they varied. And also, very importantly, something you said earlier, Pat, is when it comes to keeping an eye, the horses are checked underneath their rugs. And that's incredibly important during winter. So, and things like ensuring that the ice is regularly broken on the tanks during winter, although the UK didn't really see a winter last year, I have to say we're very blessed, unlike I'm sure other parts of the world. So it is about ensuring that all horses on extra feeds, that the checker team are amazing, they stand and watch, that the horses are actively tucking into their feeds, and obviously they go into little corrals separate from the rest of the group, any horse on extra feed, and that affords us the opportunity to be able to check, is the horse quidding, has it finished its meal, and other signs of health. So yeah, we're very blessed with the teams we have. Thank you.
Well, I want to say thank you to both Dr. Harris and Dr. Jarvis for joining us today. This was a wonderful educational time together, and we hope that both of you will come back and talk to us more, because as Pat mentioned at one point, we could talk all day on just one of these topics. So thank you.
Well, thank you for the invitation to come and join the podcast. Always lovely to sit and chat with Pat. Absolute delight to have met you properly, Kim, today, and chatted with yourself. And yeah, Pat and I thoroughly enjoyed talking about older horses. So thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Couldn't say anything else but agree. Thanks, Kim.
Well, I'd like to remind our audience that if you have any senior equine questions you would like to have answered through articles or podcasts or videos or whatever form of you would like to receive the information, let me know. And you can send an email to me at kbrown, that's the letter K, Brown, at equinenetwork.com. Thank you so much for joining us today. Take care of yourselves and your senior equine.